You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Dale Meyer on the Lutheran Hour. It's titled, Crow and Humble Pot. Now here is Dr. Meyer.
The title of today's message is Crow and Humble Pie. That doesn't sound too appetizing, does it? It's especially distasteful if you think about sitting down for a Thanksgiving dinner. What a terrible menu to serve. But more about crow and humble pie later. Right now, let's start with something called virtual reality. Have you heard of it? With modern electronic wizardry, the things that many of us don't understand, it is possible to experience something that's just like the real thing, but is not the real thing. I haven't experienced this electronic virtual reality, but my daughter Katie has. This past summer, she went with her friend Bliss and her family to Florida, where they visited Disney World and Epcot Center. At Epcot Center, Bliss and Katie got into what seemed to be a car, and they experienced the illusion of that car flying, not driving, flying through town after town. It seemed real to them, but in fact, it wasn't. It was virtual reality. It seemed real, but it wasn't. Virtual reality may be okay for amusement, but it's not the way for you to observe Thanksgiving. For you Americans, Thanksgiving Day is about 10 days away. For you Canadians, Thanksgiving was last month on October the 9th. The Bible tells us that every day should be filled with thanksgiving. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20 says, "Always thank God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now here is a question for you. Is your Thanksgiving a virtual reality Thanksgiving, or is it the real thing? Do you have a fancy dinner with relatives, some of whom you can't stand? Do you have polite conversations with your coworkers, your neighbors, your in-laws, with whomever? But the real you takes sinful pleasure in stabbing these same people in the back when they're not present? What's on your menu this Thanksgiving? Behind your smile and civility, would you really like to serve crow and humble pie to your enemies? Behind the smiles of virtual reality, would you like to serve up a meal of revenge for what they've done to you? God is a real God. He's not amused by any virtual reality Thanksgiving. He wants you to be honest, just as he is honest in looking at your own faults and shortcomings and sins. That means wiping phony holiday smiles off your face and getting rid of false civility. It means choosing reality. Either the reality of revenge, serving up crow and humble pie, or with God's grace, choosing the reality of peace and reconciliation that is possible in Jesus Christ. Joseph had every earthly reason to seek revenge upon his brothers. He had literally hit rock bottom when his jealous brothers put him in the cistern. When Joseph was sold into slavery in Egypt, it must have seemed that life couldn't get any worse. And all because of those terrible brothers. They deserved their comeuppance. It would have been the natural thing for Joseph to nurse a grudge and to dream up exquisite ways to take revenge upon his brothers. The natural thing for Joseph to do would have been to plan a meal of crow and humble pie for those sinful brothers and yearn for the day of revenge. Use your imagination. Can't you picture the revenge in your mind? Joseph, after all those years of loneliness and suffering caused by his brothers. Joseph, now the second most powerful man in Egypt, and presumably able to do whatever he wanted. Joseph, who now has those very brothers in front of him, begging for food because there's a famine back in Canaan, and Egypt is the only place with food. Can you imagine Joseph standing up before those groveling brothers, revealing himself as the one they mistreated, and then taking a terrible revenge? No virtual reality here, just straight out, honest and angry revenge. But Joseph didn't do that. He didn't choose the natural way. He went God's way. God's way is the reality of reconciliation. Genesis chapter 45 says, Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Is my father still alive? His brothers could not answer him because they were afraid of him. Please, come closer to me, Joseph said to his brothers. When they did so, he said, I am Joseph, the brother you sold into slavery in Egypt. Now don't be sad or angry with yourselves that you sold me. God sent me ahead of you to save lives. Joseph's reconciliation with his brothers was not a passing thing. You know how people sometimes make up and then revert to their previous hatreds. You might get along for the holidays, but it's only a facade. It's not real. Joseph's reconciliation was real, not virtual reality. Sometime later, Jacob, the father of Joseph and the brothers, died. Genesis 50 tells us that this reconciliation was for real. It says, Joseph's brothers realized what their father's death could mean. So they thought, what if Joseph holds a grudge against us? What if he decides to pay us back for all the evil we did to him? Joseph said to them, don't be afraid. I can't take God's place. Even though you planned evil against me, God planned good to come out of it. This was to keep many people alive, as he is doing now. Don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children. In this way, he reassured them, setting their minds at ease. God's people don't want to react in a sinful, vengeful way, because God wasn't playing any games when he sent us a real Savior for our sins against him. He's not a virtual reality God. He's honest in his judgment against sin, and he's loving in reconciling us sinners to himself. There was no virtual reality connected with God sending his Son Jesus Christ to be your Savior. Jesus experienced the real life of a human being with all of its toil and trouble. He had his enemies too, just like Joseph. He could have plotted revenge, but what did Jesus do? He poured out real blood on Calvary's cross when he paid the price for sin. He prayed, Father, forgive them. And 3 days later, Jesus' resurrection was God's announcement to the whole world that the payment for sin was accepted. That reconciliation between God and sinners is possible through faith in Christ. Now, if God and sinful people can be reconciled, can't we sinners strive to be reconciled and at peace with one another? God's good news in Jesus Christ enables you and me to change our sinful habits. I'm afraid that we don't realize how damaging our mean-spirited thoughts and words can be. Mona Charon told the following story in her column this summer entitled Slander Poisons Civil Discourse. The story is told of a small village in Eastern Europe. One of the men in the community made it a practice to slander the rabbi at every opportunity. At length, feeling guilty at his lies and misrepresentations, the man presented himself to the rabbi, admitted his error, and asked forgiveness. The rabbi considered for a moment, and then told the man to first go to the top of the highest hill, and there to cut open a feather pillow and scatter the contents to the winds. When you have done that, he said, return to me. The penitent man did as he was told, and returned to the rabbi. I've done as you asked, said the slanderer. Am I forgiven? Almost, replied the rabbi. You need to do just one more thing. Go and gather all of the feathers up again. But that's impossible, protested the man. They've been blown by the four winds. Yes, said the rabbi. And so it is also impossible to undo the damage you have done with your words, which can never be retrieved. I'll disagree with the rabbi and say again that there is full and free forgiveness for all our sins in Jesus Christ. God sent Jesus to lift that burden of sin off of our conscience. But the rabbi is absolutely correct when he makes the point that our mean-spirited thoughts and words cannot be recalled. They do great damage to others and don't make life any easier for you either. God forgives the sin, but the consequences of the sin can be with you a long time. That's why you want to keep peace with those people with whom you have a peaceful relationship. And wherever you have failed to do this, wherever you have in one way or another served up crow and humble pie in a spirit of revenge, or whenever your phony smile and outward civility have hidden a desire for revenge, God in His Word will give you the strength to move toward peace and reconciliation. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4 says, "Before the creation of the world, He chose us through Christ to be holy and perfect in His presence." Holy means different, not going the sinful ways that people by nature like to go. Perfect means keeping His commandments, which we can do only by the help of God's Holy Spirit that works through His Word. Reconciliation, rather than revenge, is part of the holy and perfect life that God intends His forgiven people to live. And God can make that happen in your life, just as He made it happen in Joseph's. Some of the things you can do to achieve reconciliation are the following. First, pray. In prayer, you have a quiet talk with your loving Heavenly Father about the things that are important to you. Tell Him that you need help in making peace with someone. Second, listen to what the Father has to say to you. Open your Bible and read those passages which talk about the forgiveness of sins that He has given us freely in Jesus Christ. And then read the stories of people like Joseph who put that forgiveness into practice. Third, make a small gesture to that person with whom you're on the outs. Maybe drop a note or postcard. Maybe just say hi and engage in a little pleasantry next time you see him or her on the street or in the hallway. Move slowly toward the resumption of better relations. Remember, Joseph didn't reconcile to his brothers in a split second. He took some time to achieve that full reconciliation. And fourth, start all over again with prayer and Bible reading. Just as we pray every day that God would forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, so you and I must work daily at peace and reconciliation. You won't come to it suddenly. Each day you need to go to the Father, who planned your forgiveness before He made the world, and ask Him for Jesus' sake to enable you through His Word to live a holy life. What will all this lead to? Virtual reality Thanksgiving? No way! It will lead to real Thanksgiving, the kind of Thanksgiving and thanks living that God intends for you. Whether it's getting together over a holiday meal, or just chatting with someone on the phone, whether it's bumping into someone at the store or just thinking about them when you're alone, reconciliation gives real reason for Thanksgiving. What great Thanksgivings there must have been for Joseph, his brothers, and his aged father. No crow or humble pie on the menu of this reconciled family, and none, I pray, in your family either. Until next week, keep peace with those with whom you have peace, and take a small step toward reconciliation with someone with whom you're having problems. Do it for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.